today we are talking about Groundhog Day. But before we get into that, I just want to say for anyone who is first tuning in for the first time, 2012 Journeys to Evolution is where the evolution of matter and spirit meet. And what that means basically, matter in regard to our humanness, the things that we still have to become complete with, whatever disturbs our peace, that brings us to the soul psychology aspect of this show. And sometimes we'll do topics that have to do with our unresolved issues and how to become complete with them so we can move on to the next level of evolution. The next aspect of this show, you will sometimes hear programs that have to do with what you may call healing, different modalities that are available around the world using all types of frequency, I like to call it, and they may have different names, but I identify them as having the same signature. They have the same effects, the same outcomes. So I like to focus on the similarities of things rather than the differences. So at times you'll hear programs that have to do with what's going on in the world in terms of healing and anything that aids the human family into coming into a higher consciousness. The third aspect is what I call the esoteric library, and that's where today's topic falls under, Groundhog Day, because we're going to get into parallel universes, multidimensional selves, and basically the aspect of quantum physics that says that there are infinite versions of ourselves, infinite versions of the people in our lives and of our world and of our universe. So that's going to be a really fun topic. It's actually one of my favorites. And before I start, I just want to quote Albert Einstein. There's actually a few quotes that are really germane to this subject. First, I'll start with Albert. Albert says, "A human being is part of the whole called by us universe, a part limited in time and space. We experience ourselves, our thoughts and feelings, as something separate from the rest, a kind of optical delusion of consciousness. This delusion is a kind of prison for us, restricting us to our personal desires and to affection for a few persons nearest to us. Our task must be to free ourselves from the prison by widening our circle of compassion to embrace all living creatures and the whole of nature and its beauty. We shall require a substantially new manner of thinking if mankind is to survive." That, in and of itself, you know, to broaden ourselves, to challenge the boundaries in which our thinking has been confined to, you know, mentioning just this topic to some, I get looks at times like, oh my goodness, she is a real banana peel. And I'll take that gladly, because you know what? What is that saying that something about a nut that held its ground is tomorrow's oak tree? Something like that? I don't know. But the next quote is by Fred Allen Wolfe. And Fred says, "The laboratory of a parallel universe experimentation may not lie in a mechanical time machine, a la Jules Verne, but could exist between our ears." I'm more likely to think and agree with Fred. If there's anyone out there that has never seen Groundhog Day, I think I've mentioned this in one of my other shows, you've got to go rent it. It is the all-time quintessential movie in regard to understanding the concept of multidimensional selves and parallel timelines. Parallel timelines, just as the word suggests, parallel, something that is existing just to the side of another version of itself, parallel. It's a topic that has been in many science fiction movies, and something about it being in a movie somehow makes it a little more acceptable for us to digest, because it's under the guise of science fiction. Just the word fiction makes it safe for us to just entertain the idea of itself. But if you really look at it as being actual, that it is something that actually is more realer than fiction, some they have a hard time wrapping their mind around it, which is okay. All we're doing is bringing the topic up and, you know, contemplate it. And if it fits for you, if it seems like something that you can see is logical, then I say put it in your back pocket and take it home with you. If not, then leave it on your plate. It's all good. So for those who have seen the movie Groundhog Day, Bill Murray starred in it, and he was this newscaster. And they traveled to a little town in, I think it was Pennsylvania, that every year on Groundhog Day, they would see if the groundhog would come out or go back into its hole. So that was the whole premise of why they were in this little town. What happens in the movie is, day after day, Bill Murray seems to be experiencing the same day. The same things happen, from him stepping into this pothole filled with water to the same conversations at the coffee shop that he hears. He knows when the person's going to drop the plates and dishes. He knows when the cat is going to fall out of the tree. And, you know, I mean, the same actual events are happening throughout this day. At first he thinks he's going crazy. Then he gets so fed up with it, he tries to kill himself, only to find that the next moment he's awaking to his alarm clock at 6 o'clock in the morning. And this goes on through his frustration. I mean, he killed himself God knows how many times. He tried to electrocute himself in the bathtub. He hijacked the groundhog in his truck and then drove himself off a cliff. And when he finally got to the point and just relaxed into the fact that, you know what, there's nothing you can do, this is just going to keep happening, so you might as well use it to your advantage and better yourself. So he went on to take piano lessons, and, you know, when he knew certain things were going to happen, the character of this man began to develop, where he would make sure he was at the tree when the cat fell so he could catch the cat. Or if, you know, there was a car filled with elderly women and the tire blew, he knew that was going to happen. So he had a tow truck there waiting for them. So by the end of this movie, Bill Murray's character was just, you know, sublime. And he was the talk of the town, and everyone admired and loved him. And at the start of the movie, he was this idiot, for lack of a better word, that, you know, no one really cared for, because he didn't care about anybody else. So I believe it's the best example in regard to, in my observation, how it really works, how this whole game of life really is. You know, that quite possibly it is just like Groundhog Day, where we do the same life. Forget about other past lives or, you know, other things like that. What about this life? How many times have you lived this life? How many different versions are there of you? And of the choices that you have made, how many different parallel timelines have you experienced as you? Not as a past life person, not as a future life or anything like that, but as you. That's the question for today. We're going to explore that, and we're going to take calls. Let's see, do we have any callers? We have one on line two. Okay, Donna on line two. Are you with us?
Hello, Tambourine. A hawk just landed right outside of my window.
Just now?
Just right now.
That's
I just thought I would tell you that. It seems kind of significant in some way, possibly.
Anytime a hawk would fly into a window, I think that is pretty significant. Tell him I
said. Oh, it didn't fly into the window. It just landed right outside of it.
Well, even still, I mean, hawks, you know, hawks are pretty, they usually stay, at least around my house, they usually stay up pretty high. welcome him to the show.
Hello there.
Hi, welcome.
This is a great topic. I just love it.
Isn't it cool?
Yes.
So you saw the movie, didn't you?
Oh, yes.
So what did you think about it? When you first saw it, what did you think?
I you summed up my perception of it pretty well in your description earlier. You know that the character from beginning to end evolved as he sank into this realization that, you know, there's infinite possibilities and all sorts of things can happen.
Yeah, I mean, when I first saw the movie, I didn't think of it, you know, at the time, when did it come out? What, in the 90s or something like that?
It's been a while.
God, it might even have been the late 80s, but, I mean, I in no way was looking at it like, you know, that is something that can actually happen. But, you know, as I grew in my, I don't know what you would call it, quantum thinking. I mean, you know, once I began to learn just about the possibilities of quantum mechanics and what that actually means for us, the fact that, you know, the electron spins around the nucleus of the atom, looking and appearing to be a cloud, but it really is holding every possible position of timeline that there is. And I mean, once I learned that, I mean, along with everything else, but that just, it really honed it in, like, okay, so what that's saying is that the minute that I choose, consciously choose, say, you know, if I make a choice, the mere choice commands all of my atoms that have all of those electrons spinning around all those nucleuses, it commands them to unfold into whatever timeline that choice belongs to. You know, like Bill Murray. You know, it works just like that. I mean, truth is so much stranger than fiction. The more and more that I learn and experience myself, the more I'm convinced of that. I don't know about you.
Well, when we began learning about quantum mechanics and that kooky world, and understanding that time as we know it is linear or in a line, and one of the things that I started noticing earlier in my journey is that things would shift around with the way my perception was appearing, however I was perceiving reality at the time. And as I began to clear out this old belief system or how my brain was working as part of a known program, you know, I started taking the energy into like a vertical motion instead of a horizontal motion. And if you take both of those ends of the line and bring those to the point, it looks like a teardrop. You know, but it's folding time and space. So when we have an out of a box kind of thought, that's also multidimensional because thoughts don't originate inside of our head. They originate outside of our body mass.
Right.
And that is multidimensional from the get-go. So, you know, when I think of multidimensionality, the symbol that comes into my head is a teardrop for some reason. I'm not really sure why that is, but it just gives me a way to, like, fold things, you know, and to see it in that kind of a geometry. Although it's not really geometric, it's, well, I don't really understand it all that well, the shape yet, but you know what I'm saying.
Yeah, totally. Things like that, in my experience, eventually the understanding comes. First, you know what I mean? Like, as far as symbols and stuff like that, like, first the symbols will come, and then their meaning usually follows, whether it's right away or after a certain period of time. But make sure you let me know when when that definition comes, because it sounds pretty interesting.
Yes, I've been working on that. It's one of the symbols at the ancient site, and since more and more information has been coming to me about that, I'm really looking forward to that one collapsing. Because it would bring a whole new meaning to a lot of things there, I think. But
yeah, sometimes there's that, you know, you could have a contemplation or a theory about something, and sometimes there's that one missing piece, and when that one missing piece comes, it all falls together like a puzzle, like different puzzle pieces. That's how I have experienced it. It just, with this whole topic, you know, I'd say from the last 10 to 15 years, all of the what you would call esoteric experiences or multidimensional experiences that I've had, you know, when I first started to have them, they were just isolated pieces of a puzzle that made no sense whatsoever. I had no reference point to put them. But over the years, each piece connected together, now, at this point, I can look at the whole picture and say, oh my God, they all are connected and all are a part of this picture. And the picture is, you know, whatever that topic is, the picture looks like this. And finally making sense, whether it's about multidimensional cells, parallel timelines, you know, even into the topic of, you know, when you know someone and you've just met them, but you know them, you know, you're certain that you've known them, and usually we go straight to, oh, I probably knew you in a past life. But what if it wasn't a past life? What if it is this life, but a different version of this life? Have you thought about that ever?
Oh, yes. I've had experiences where I have thought that I was in the reality that I'm talking to you from. And I will be having these experiences. It will be totally lucid. And normally when this happens, it's around some kind of decision that I'm contemplating making, or a business decision, a personal decision, whatever. And I'll play this scene out, and then realize, once I come back to this reality, I'll have deja vu, and that will make me remember this whole other thing that played out, and then I can say, oh well, to have a good outcome for this situation, I've already had this decision and it worked out really good.
Exactly.
And so, you know,
I was going to say, remember in The Matrix when they were going up those stairs and Neo saw the black cat and he was like, oh, deja vu. And they were like, what did you see? He was like, a black cat. And he says, and then another black cat looked just like it. They were like, was it the same cat? And he was like, I don't know, I think so. And they all freaked out because they knew that a deja vu meant something was changed in the matrix. Meaning, so say for instance, that you're doing the one timeline, right? And say that timeline didn't unfold in the outcome that was for your soul's highest purpose, right?
Right.
You follow me? And so say that you did it again, you started again, and your soul downloaded at an earlier time before you made choices that led you down that previous timeline. Now, since it was recorded in the soul, when you got to the point where you had made the previous choice, you didn't really know why you made you wanted to make another choice. Instead of going right, you went left. You know, and by making that choice to go left, you made a whole other timeline. And at that moment, you could have had a deja vu, you know, saying, okay, I've done this before, but, and it's all so subtle. It's not anything really conscious, like that you say, oh, well, I'm repeating this timeline and before I made this decision, and that ended up to be real screwed up, so I'm going to consciously make this choice. It's not like that. It's so up under the veil, so up under the surface of consciousness. It is like a soul knowing that in those moments of deja vu, you're sure that, you know, sometimes it's so clear, just sometimes for a few seconds, and I've had one that has lasted up to a minute long, but it has definitely been at times that had to do with a period of shift in my life. So it makes total logic, something that seems so crazy. This whole topic to some is like, oh my God, they are absolutely nuts. But there's something very logical about it. If you can really just dissect it and look at it and take it face value. You know, it's really not that crazy.
I don't think it's crazy at all. You know, as we grow internally or spiritually or whatever term you want to use, our perceptions and our observer gets keener. And so a hawk landing on a branch outside my window, you know, that could mean 20 different things to 20 different people, you know, but with multidimensionality, you have the option of looking at things from many, many different perspectives and having experiences to ground that wisdom in and, you know, I hope everybody hones their observer. I would like to
hone their
observer.
Don't know what that is. What would you say?
The observer is who is always watching. The soul, the spirit,
the highest self.
The recorder, everything, the thing that knows it all.
Right. And there are moments where there is no doubt. You know, it seems, I don't know if it's that we're so close to this shift, and that so many things are happening energetically, but it seems for me that veil is so thin, and these different dimensions and different timelines, I mean, sometimes it's palpable, like I can feel it in my bones. When I've made a choice, and say I'm going down one road and I make a choice, I can feel almost the timeline shift. Not to mention the immediate these days, it's immediate. The immediate evidence that I am absolutely on a different timeline. I mean, people drop out of my life like that. People enter my life like that. And there's no explanation. Sometimes things are so abrupt, and aspects of my life have been changing so fast and so epic that there is no other, as far as I'm concerned, no other explanation except for the power that I'm focusing on shifting certain things. And when I consciously shift it, I believe that I'm commanding the atom to unfold and choose, like that electron going around that nucleus, to choose one of those potentialities. And I'm telling you, it's like I can feel when it's happening. I mean, it sounds so crazy, but I can. It's bananas. It really is bananas, but it's so cool at the same time, because I've been finding just how powerful and how quick the change can be once you set your mind to it, that you literally can shift your timeline just like Bill Murray did. Everyone's going to be like, I'm going to go rent that movie tonight. I mean, you know,
well,
just like that.
Well, it having this understanding of ourselves will definitely come in handy in any kind of earth change situations, because, you know, we can look at a news report and our science is telling us that there's a solar storm possibility at any moment that could take out our electrical grid and all of our electronics.
Right.
And we can look at this indicator without any attachment emotionally and say, well, I don't want to have that experience, you know, personally. And what would happen if 144,000 or more people all got together at the same time and had the same thought? I mean, timelines could shift just like they do in our own personal realities. You know, when we make a different choice and it bumps us off of the frequency line that we are on currently, and it just puts us into another, as you say, another channel on the radio. We just switch bands.
Okay, so let me ask you this then. If that's the case, wouldn't it just be about us? Not so much saying, I don't want this to happen, because sometimes I know you didn't say without any emotional charge on it, because it's that emotional charge. But, you know, when I see something like that, I have this demeanor of just disinterest. I'm not interested in it. I don't have, you know, I don't push against it and resist it, nor, you know, it's not any, it's not positive or negative. It's just kind of like nothing. It's like nothing, like right in the middle of the magnet. Like I observe that is a reality. And then I put my attention or consciousness on a version that, or where that's not happening. You know what I'm saying? And then what I'm getting at is this, is that when one person chooses that, right, wouldn't they then become tuned in to the other 144 or however many other people were choosing the same thing? Like, it wouldn't be necessary, I don't think, to get a certain amount of other people to make the creation. Like, once you make the choice to be a part of that creation, then you are in line and on the same station as anyone and everyone else that's made the same choice. Because once anyone makes the choice, then it creates a whole reality of that choice, of there not being a solar flare issue. You follow me?
I follow you. I really like contemplating things like this because it's in a vortex, you know. There's this nothing's congealed, and you can put things in there and ground them down or let them spin away or whatever you want to do. And you know, do you observe nature as a vortex itself, like instantaneous change can happen? You know, it's kind of like the fluid that we are all surrounded by.
Explain that more in depth.
Well, you know, when David Wilcock cited that research project where a Russian scientist shined light onto either a frog egg or a salamander egg through, let's just say, shined a light through a salamander egg into a frog, and the egg changed to a salamander, and all that happened was that light was shined through, and it changed everything instantaneously. And nature, to me, is capable of instantaneous change, you know?
So then wouldn't that mean all of us and everything in creation is that?
Exactly.
Holding that potentiality of instantaneous change. I've experienced it in my practice working with this frequency. I've seen it. I've seen other people do it. I've seen Richard Bartlett, Matrix Energetics, do it. I've seen Eric Pearl and Reconnected Healing do it. I've seen, you know, examples of or heard of or read of masters, ascended masters doing it because they know that truth that you just spoke of. And it's interesting that the experiment had to do with light because light is information. It's a carrier of information. So it would make sense that if the light passed through the one egg, which coded the light, which coded the information, sending the information of the one egg to the other egg, coding it with the same information of the salamander egg. It just makes sense. Doesn't it?
It does. I love it.
I know. Me too. Just think about what suggests.
Yes, exactly, and you know, so many people are feeling like time is shorter now, and you know, today in meditation, I had this vision of, you know, the triad, and we're on our way back up to point zero, and we're on a frequency now that is not as long as it used to be, linearly. And so...
Right.
Does that make sense?
Totally, because the other levels, that's why it's always been said here, as it's called Hertzian, this level, this physical level, that it's so slow. Everything takes so long to manifest, where in other levels, in the other... six levels besides this one, creation is instantaneous. So yeah, I could see that as we are raising our frequency into the higher densities or the lesser densities, that things are unfolding and time is shorter. It seems quicker. It seems faster.
Yes, so we need to practice our magic so we're not shocked by it when the time continues to collapse.
Yes, and be mindful of what it is that is in your consciousness, because I've experienced instantaneous manifestation, and sometimes the shock is seeing, God, where was my mind to have, you know, manifested this thing that I'm really not liking. Where was my mind at, you know? So it suggests that we really need to be mindful about, you know, and that takes me to, you know, how important it is for us to become complete with our unfinished business. I know this show isn't about that today, but, you know, really, if I'm sure anyone and everyone who has chosen to evolve in this period of time is experiencing it. Whatever is left to own is also manifesting quick and magnified right in front of your face where you cannot hide. There is no place to run. It is right there in front of you to look at, to, you know, to ultimately forgive and have compassion so it can dissolve. The energy can dissolve so you no longer create from that anymore, because as fast as things are manifesting, you know, the last thing I want to create is my past. The last thing I want to experience is any issues that disturbs my peace. So I just had to throw that in there. I think we're going to take a little break now, and we'll come back and continue the next level of this riveting conversation. We'll be back in a minute.
BBSRadio.com. If it's not mainstream, it could be here. Information and knowledge. Brain.
Okay, we're back. We're back. So I love talking to you, Donna. You're like the best person to soundboard these issues. I want to get into the aspect of that every different version of us, right? Say, you know, there's a version of me that isn't doing this show today. There's a version of you that is out there playing with the hawk that's landed. You know what I'm saying? It's almost like, this is just a contemplation of mine, that for every version of me, depending upon where my mind is, what I'm thinking, how I'm feeling, because how I'm feeling determines what I'm thinking, or how I'm thinking determines how I'm feeling, which is like my hand on the radio dial choosing which station I'm actually going to unfold and experience, which version of Tambourine. You know, the Tambourine that is living out her past, the Tambourine that is being the highest version of herself. It's like moment to moment. It's not like you can just change the station. It's just there. It's like who are you choosing to be in every moment? Because I think, I mean, the nanosecond is a billionth of a second. And I believe that we choose which timeline that we're experiencing in that nanosecond. So it's almost like we have to continually choose which version of ourselves and which timeline of our experience that we're wanting to have. Do you agree with that? What are your thoughts on that?
One of the biggest shifts that I had a couple of years ago is when I made a choice to contact my other selves in the other timelines and do it from this timeline, and there's not a big hoopla about it. It's just an understanding that there's a me out there that already has the solution to whatever I'm working with in this moment. And the shift came when I began to say, okay, that part of myself that knows, you know, I'm ready. Come on down, you know, or come on over, or whatever you want to say. And so, yeah,
that's,
I agree.
Go ahead, finish.
Oh, yeah, I'm finished.
Well, just what you just said made me think of, you know, I've been really getting into our 12 layers of DNA. You know, the Pleiadians have talked about the 12 strands of DNA. There have been other teachers that have mentioned it along the way. And I believe Kryon, in particular, gave in-depth teachings on the 12, as he put them, or they put them, layers, because it's not really like strands, they're like soup. And the 97% of our DNA that the scientists say are is junk, it's interdimensional. And two of the layers have to do with our Akashic records, meaning everyone we've ever been. So that means in all space and time, because it's interdimensional. And in those dimensions, there is no space and time. So when you talk about talking to your other selves, I began to experiment with that. And I began to speak to, I called it by name, first of all, the particular layer, and it's in Hebrew. That will be another show. I'll go into the specifics of that. But I began to address it and speak to the version of myself that accomplished the goal for this life. The version of myself that owned everything this soul has come to own, and the version of myself that actually lived the highest expression of this soul. And then I said, I download how that version of me did it. And let me tell you, almost within one day, things started to change and happen almost like, it was like, you've got to be kidding me. I mean, things that, the choices I was making, that it almost seemed like someone was making them, that had the autonomy to make them. And I was kind of just sitting in the background watching, like, you know, I got this radio show. I got, you know, made choices to take my workshop and travel around the world and finish my book. And I mean, all these things that I'm like, okay, oh, that's happening, okay. I'm like, whoa. So that leads me to believe that there's absolute power in doing that, absolute power in addressing and speaking to the other versions of ourselves. There's many versions, but I went ahead and spoke to the version that did it. You know, and it's like, you know, if you're walking down the street, Donna, and I say, hey, Donna, what do? You turn around, right?
Right.
Because why? Because I addressed you, right?
That's right.
Okay, so that's my thinking with this layer of DNA, the layer of DNA that's interdimensional, that's holding all of the information, of experience of that version of myself that has accomplished it all, that is living the highest version. And by addressing it, it responds like you would on the street. Yes, can I help you? What can I do for you? Oh, you'd like this information? Well, let me download it for you. I mean, maybe it's just that simple.
I think it is, and I also think one of the biggest things for someone to even have that perception of reality is, do they believe it? Do they have a belief within themselves somewhere that they are multidimensional? And if they don't, or if they're living their life in an unconscious program, you know, they could be, a person could be saying, you know, all sorts of things. I can't even think of an example. I hate trash day, you know. And so this person has an experience about trash day, but they don't see it the way a conscious person would. And having a belief that you're multidimensional opens up experiences that are multidimensional.
Absolutely.
You know, and if you don't have that belief, then the experiences that come into your life are going to be
confusing.
Helping you realize that you are multidimensional.
Right. That's the thing. That it's probably the most natural thing that there is. But we've been made to think it's so insane to believe that. You know? Like, I mean, this conversation nowadays is a little different, but for the most part, your average person would be like, you know, they're, that's that line in that movie, it's the best, Green Mile, it was the perfect one-liner. I don't think the cheese done slipped off her cracker. You know, but, I mean, it's, the subject really is so vast. There's so many other appendages of it that I really want to get into, you know, in regard to knowing different people that are in your life that you know. I touched on it earlier in the show, but, I mean, God, there's people that I have had flashes of upon meeting them. Have flashes, literal flashes of having full-blown relationships with them. It's like, okay, well, where did that come from? You know, people, and I'm talking about, like, love relationships. Men that I wouldn't ordinarily even be attracted to, having just full-on memories. And those that weren't visual memories, they would be the most powerful soul memories, like feeling it just so deeply in my heart that I know this person and have such deep feelings for them, which is not explainable because in this timeline, I barely know them. You know, what is that about? It's tangible, so it can't be just something to pass off. You know, it's got to be something. And I think the answer resides in multidimensionality. That would imply to me that in another dimension or in another timeline that, you know, in the example that I used previously, a timeline that, say, I went all the way up to, we'll just say 2012, and it didn't end up very well for me, right? And so I'm choosing to come back at an earlier time and say in that timeline I went all the way to 2012, I had this epic love relationship with this person that started in 2009 or 10 or whatever, right? So if I decided to come back and do the timeline again to make it over the hump of 2012, my soul would still hold the memory of that love relationship with that person. So when I met them again, my soul would know I intimately knew them in every way, shape, or form, but the mind, the left brain, is confused, like, wait a minute, I don't even know this person. How come I have these thoughts or pictures or feelings about someone I don't even know. And it's not even about a past life. It's about this one. Is that bananas or what?
I think it's great. That's a midbrain turned on.
Yeah. It can be very confusing at times, but I think the more practice we have of really understanding that A, we're not crazy. B, that it's all about us continually choosing, you know, the thoughts and the versions of ourselves that we're wanting to experience, what we're wanting to experience on the highest level. And then we continue to choose and connect and dial in to that particular timeline. It's moment to moment.
Yes, I totally agree. I can't even add anything to it.
Well, have you ever experienced that with anyone that you know of? Da, na, na, na,
well,
na,
there's a lot of experiences where, you know, when we are letting go of our past, all of these crazy things happen to us, and we're constantly going, "Are we crazy?" And it keeps us humble, and at the same time, it also trains us to be centered in the middle of chaos, because we're like, well, all this crazy stuff is happening, and I'm observing it and engaging whatever I need to engage in, and things happen and shift, and everything looks really cuckoo some of the time. And multidimensionality, if we are really moving into an energy where we are instantly manifesting our thoughts and incredible things like that, being in our center during those times is going to be pretty important, because our next door neighbor may not have the same perception of the world that we do. And they might be, you know, having thoughts about being chased by a gorilla or something, you know, and we'll look at our window and we'll be like, what in the world?
Well,
what's going on over there?
Right. I mean, that note, it's like the version that I am choosing, right? Okay, say whoever's in my life right now, friends, family, whatever, right? The version of myself that I am choosing, I'm automatically choosing the version of them that matches the frequency or radio station that I'm choosing for myself. Am I making that clear?
Oh, thank you.
Yeah?
That just really...
Okay, so say, for instance, say I'm tuned into a station of feeling unworthy and victimized and, you know, all of the above. I'm choosing a radio station of an experience, of a timeline, where I now have tuned into the version of you, Donna, who match either, you know, head-to-head with my unworthiness and victimization, or I tune into a version of you that can deliver to me the experience of proving my thought that I am unworthy, or being a tyrant because I'm choosing to be a victim. Or I can choose a version of myself that's the higher version of me doing this radio show, and I tune in and choose No, I don't choose. By choosing the highest version of me, I automatically experience the version of you that is resonating on that same frequency. Did that make sense?
It makes sense. I love it.
I think that, man, there's so much to this. There is so much to this, I swear. I have to say, just recently, I went through a huge shift. And in the midst of that shift and getting over that hump, I was able to grab a hold of myself outside of any emotion, and I truly was able to be right in the middle of the magnet, and when I was there in neutrality, I knew that I had to dissolve whatever frequency was unfolding the timeline that I was not interested in experiencing anymore. So by forgiving myself, forever believing whatever that limiting belief was about myself, I truly meant it from the depth of my soul that I gave compassion for myself forever having that belief. And I felt it literally, the energy of that pattern, I felt it dissolve within my body, and I spoke to the highest version of myself, and I said, I choose in this moment to never again have that experience. I am complete with it, and I no longer need it to teach me the lesson that I've learned. I choose a new experience. And I swear, within 3 minutes, the phone rang, and it was evidence that I had absolutely jumped timelines. So I say that to say it is real. It is a playground once you get the hang of it. And you really can be any version of yourself and tap into any version of your friends or family that is on the same radio station of that preferred version of yourself. You can jump into a timeline of preferred versions of everyone in your life, even your dogs. Or any of your pets, believe me when I say that.
When you expand the picture a little bit, do you see the pattern in collective consciousness the same way? I mean, do you see energy shifts and changes on the collective level, like from decisions people are making about war, about their food, about their water, about the way they spend their time? I mean, in this same frame of topic, I mean, do you see the collective shift too?
I do on some levels, and sometimes I believe it's some kind of test. If I see evidence of a particular thing, like someone was talking about this documentary, The Cove, which is a heinous thing done to dolphins, a brutal murdering of them, and I observe that that's in my experience because I'm hearing about it, but I attempt to be in that place of not giving it any emotion, not wanting to perpetuate the reality of that. You know, but there are other aspects where I absolutely do see evidence that it is a part of a new timeline. Something, I just got an email, something about another documentary having to do with women. God, I wish I could remember the exact thing, but it had to do with, it was the Oscar, the best, the winner of The Hurt Locker in regard to No More War. So that is evidence of a new timeline. No More War. Let's all close the show with that. A world without any war. We're going to have to get back on this topic, perhaps next week, Donna, because it's so vast, and I really love talking to you, and I believe that we really hit on some topics that can possibly open up some minds and let them play in the playground for a little while, in the quantum playground. So we're going to close off today. Our show is closing, and we will be back next week at 3 o'clock p.m. Thank you for listening, and everyone have a beautiful week. We'll see you next Saturday, 3 o'clock. Thank you, Donna.
Thank you.
They say I'm crazy, that it's just my imagination.